Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
A lot of people think that amateur radio is what I do every weekend on this station, but that's not actually what it is. Amateur radio is about point-to-point communications. It's about emergency communications. It's about experimenting with the electronics hobbies, and it's a hobby that is more than 100 years old right now. Coming up in just another weekend, as you're hearing this broadcast, will be Field Day all over the United States. This is when amateurs from around the country go out into their local community parks. They might go out into the forest. They might go out to the beach and practice their emergency communications skills. And you don't have to go too far to find someone who's participating. Right here in our backyard is the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. They will be doing Field Day up at White Oak Park, I believe. And we're going to ask them about that in just a couple of minutes. We have several members on the line with us this morning. One of them is Jim Bricker. He is the president of the club. He joins us from his home in McKeesport. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Bill Powers is the secretary of the club. He's on the line with us from Jefferson Hills. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And John Mascala is on the line with us from Baldwin, and he's another member. John, thank you for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
You're welcome, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to everybody. Now, I was talking with you guys off the air, and I mentioned that I myself am a ham radio operator, W3MCK, and last year went to, well, every year I go to Dayton Hamvention, but last year we brought back interviews with some of the people there, and I was surprised at the response. People are interested in the hobby. I'll start out with you, Bill, since you're first on my screen here. When you tell people that you're a amateur radio operator, are they surprised? Do they ask questions? Are they interested? What do they have to say?
No, they're not too terribly surprised. They kind of give me a funny look at times, and you always get the question, well, how far have you talked?
Yeah.
And I'd say exactly one halfway around the world. Since I haven't bounced anything off the moon yet, that's about the farthest I've been. So, a lot of people know me as been interested in there. So, and I try to spread the word. I was up at Michigan International Speedway, and I had a radio set up there. And I had a lot of people stop by and say, oh, are you a ham? You know, it's, yeah. And so they'd sit down and operate with me. So it was a pretty good time.
Bill is KB3WP, I believe, is your call sign. John, you're next on my screen here. You're K3CRO. How long have you been involved in the hobby?
Well, actually, a lot longer than I've had a license. I got my license in 2017. And I got a vanity call sign in 2019, and I've been K3CRO since. But it's like my main interests are building antennas.
Okay.
It's like I see something or somebody says something weird. Oh, I got to see how that works or if it does work. And then I'm surprised, like, okay, now what's making this work? And if it's not working, why isn't it? But if I get to communicate around different places, talk with folks, primarily building antennas.
Jim, how about you? How long have you been involved with the hobby? Jim is N3JHB.
Well, I've actually was a professional technician. I serviced police, fire, and EMS radios in this area, by the way, for over 40 years. So I was kind of like the mailman. When I come home from work, I didn't want to take a walk. So I didn't get involved with amateur radio until after I retired. So I've been an amateur licensed operator since June of 2017.
Yeah, like a busman's holiday, they used to call it.
Yeah.
The bus driver has to drive. Yeah.
I keep all the equipment that the club has running, and I'm kind of the technical guy on that end of it. And I just enjoy making things work out of nothing.
We're talking with members of the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. They've been based in the McKeesport area since 1965. You can find them online at trarc.org. They'll be one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of clubs that will be out in the area around the world, actually, on field day. It's always the fourth full weekend of June. This weekend, it's June 28th and 29th, and they will be up at White Oak Park. We're going to ask them a little bit about that later on in the show, so stay tuned for that. How would you describe amateur radio? Like I said, a lot of people get confused. They think it's something to do with radio broadcasting, but specifically amateur radio is not. Who wants to take a shot at telling us what amateur radio is?
Well, I can address some of that.
Yeah.
It is basically a hobby where people used to build their own equipment and used to get more involved in creations. Now we have a lot of equipment that is manufactured and purchased. But people that are interested in making a box that sits on their desktop, talk long distances with no interconnection to the rest of the world other than through the airwaves, a lot of folks are interested in that. And it becomes a destiny for them, maybe you want to call it that. But folks that have it in their blood seem to really enjoy making those contacts. And from that, however, it has been discovered that during times of a crisis, when all else fails, the amateur radio folks are not affected by that, really. As long as we can put up an antenna and start a generator and get some power, we can get communication. Yeah. It can be locally or it could be nationally or internationally. It doesn't really matter. So since that has been discovered, that's shed a different light on this hobby, more than necessity than just a desire. So I'll leave it with that.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because we had Scott Feibusch, who writes about the radio and TV industry, on this show a couple of weeks ago. And Scott and I were talking about the storms that moved through this area. I believe it was the end of April that knocked power out for parts of the Pittsburgh area for a couple of days, up to a week in some cases. And what was I doing sitting here in the dark with the power off? I had a battery powered radio and was trying to see what I could hear. My wife came downstairs and said, "What are you doing sitting here in the dark?" I said, "I'm listening to the radio." Are any of you folks in your club, in the Two Rivers Club, are you involved in that kind of amateur passing communications when we have emergencies like that?
Our club is affiliated with an organization which is called ARES, Amateur Radio Emergency Communications. Okay. And they are the coordinators. They are actually the liaison between amateur radio operators in this area and the Allegheny County 911 system. And we have our club is actually a member of ARES, and we have several members that are a part of that organization as well.
One of the things that, you know, I often hear when people, and we're talking with members from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club in McKeesport. You can find them online, trarc.org. Field Day is coming up nationally the next weekend. That's June 28th and 29th. You can go to arrl.org to get more information about that. And if you're not listening in the Pittsburgh area, if you want to find a club in your area, you can get connected through the ARRL's website. I have a ham radio sticker on my door at work, and I've got a couple radios in the office, and people will say to me, "Well, I thought cell phones replaced ham radio. I thought cell phones did." And I always say is, my friend Rich Moseson, who used to be the editor of CQ Magazine, used to say, "That is a radio. That cell phone in your pocket's a radio." But the other thing was, I think people were surprised in Pittsburgh when the power was out for a few days how fast the cell phone towers started to go out. As well, within a few hours, we were starting to lose cell towers, at least on my part of the Mon Valley. Has anybody participated in any emergency communications recently on this call? I mean,
I'll let you handle that one, Bill. Go ahead.
I personally have not. For a lot of real bad stuff, I've been, if you will, lucky enough to be out of town and missed an awful lot of it.
That's
so
a little suspicious when you think about it. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, it does. But no, but I personally haven't done anything of emergency basis.
John, how about you? Have you done any? John K3CRO is also on the call with us from Baldwin. Have you done any emergency communications?
Not recently, but in the past I have. It's like in 1977, I was part of the Johnstown flood rescue effort. Like,
wow.
I was helicoptered and dropped in, and well, they gave me a radio and says, "We're going to take you up there. tell us what's going on. And I was up there for 3 days before a Sally wagon come along, and I was able to get a cup of soup and a sandwich.
We're going to ask you about, we have a break coming up, but we'll ask you a little bit more about that experience.
There's one thing if I could bring up.
Yeah.
Jim would have a little story for you. It happened at one of our partner meetings. A woman had asked a question, but I'll let him go with that.
After the function, the lady come up to us and asked us if there were any hams left. She wanted to buy some hams.
Oh, well, my wife always, when I go to Hamvention, she always say, make sure you have some ham while you're there. Let's take our pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask a little bit about the history of your club.
Sure.
On the phone with us this morning, Bill Powers, John Moscala, and Jim Bricker, they are members of the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. They and amateur operators from all over the country will be participating in Field Day. That's coming up just another weekend from now, as you're hearing this, June 28th and 29th. You can get more information about that at arrl.org. You can get more information about their club at trarc.org. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Da-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee-da. What do you hear over the air?
We're talking ham radio, as we do occasionally on this program. Remember that last year we were at the Dayton Hamvention, one of the largest amateur radio conventions in the country, if not in the world. We talked to some people there. Well, we're a little closer to home this time. We're talking to members from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. That's based in McKeesport. They meet at the Blaine Hill Volunteer Fire Department over in Elizabeth. You can find out more information at trarc.org. They will be participating in Field Day. Tell us about Field Day, because I have been talking about it. You guys, I visited your setup up at White Oak Park a few times. Tell us about what goes on a field day for your club.
Well, it's mainly an endurance test. We go up there and we set up antennas, which are temporary. We operate off of generators. We operate out of tents. And we start broadcasting and making contacts at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And we go for 24 hours continuously until 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. And we try to make as many contacts as we can, typically in the United States and Canada, but we can also make contacts anywhere in the world. And we get points for each one of those contacts that we make. It's all bragging rights, but it also is a proof that we can endure for 24 hours and keep our stations on the air and create a network if necessary.
If folks want to drop by and see this, maybe they've always wanted to be a ham, or maybe they're not part of a club that would be interested. Do you accept visitors up there as well?
Absolutely. We welcome anyone who wants to come by. The actual address, if you're going to look for it, is 690 Carpenter Lane, and that's listed under Irwin, PA. 690 Carpenter Lane. It is where... At the Allegheny County line, it's Muse, M-U-S-E, and in Westmoreland, it is Carpenter Lane. We are right on the county line up there in the undeveloped part of White Oak Park.
Is that where near where the water tower is up there?
Exactly. Okay. Right next to the big water tank.
Okay, so if they look for the water tower off of Muse Lane in White Oak Park, they'll be able to find you guys next weekend. And what frequencies, and I don't want to get too far into technical weeds for folks, because I know we're talking, by the way, with members of the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club, which is based in McKeesport. They meet every month out at Blaine Hill Volunteer Fire Department in Elizabeth Township. You can find them online at trarc.org. I don't want to get too far in the weeds for folks who aren't technical, but, you know, you look at your radio, if you're listening to us on an AM or FM radio right now and not online. And you got 540 AM to 1700 AM on the AM band. And then you got 88.1 to 108 on the FM band. Where are you guys when you're making these contacts?
We operate on several different frequencies, and that's one of the things about amateur radio that makes it so interesting. As atmospheric conditions change, so does our ability to communicate. And we have to change to different frequency bands depending upon what time of day it is and what season it is. So we'll start out on higher frequencies during the day and keep going lower and lower until we get into nighttime, where we get down around where the AM radio stations are so we can get some distance.
So when you're talking about higher frequencies, you're talking about higher than the FM radio in your house or in your car goes. And when you
said up to as high as 440 megahertz, a little bit higher than that.
Okay. And when you talk about the lower, you're talking about almost down into that AM radio, what they used to call the shortwave. Well, I guess they still call it the shortwave band, but the waves that are above the AM band.
Yeah, we actually have a band down at 1.8 megahertz, which is just above the AM.
Okay. We're talking about field day. We're talking about amateur radio. We're going to have another break coming up. After that break, I'm going to ask you fellas how someone can get started in the hobby, because I know a question that I get a lot is, boy, that hobby's expensive. And I say, well, do you golf? Do you own a boat? Because I pay a lot less for my hobby than you that you probably are paying for your golf clubs or for your boat. There's a perception sometimes, and I think this is changing, especially over the last 20 years or so. I've noticed it changing, that we talk about building radios, and I like to build stuff myself. I like to get either a kit or parts or put something together. But I've noticed a lot of younger people who are interested in the digital side of it, both the digital communication over the radio and also connecting their radio to the internet and being able to talk with people all over the world via radio connected to the internet. Is that something that your club has been experimenting with too, is the digital equipment as well? I see Bill nodding.
Go ahead and have that one.
Yeah, we do. A number of members do a lot of digital. I do FT8 mode and experimented with some other stuff like old RIDI, PSK31, just different digital modes. And then we've been on, we got Wires X going, which is through the internet. And then there's the D-Star on Icon. We've done that. A lot of people don't particularly care for digital modes, but it's a different way of doing the communications. Now, and as to make a point with Jim, for visitors to Field Day, we welcome all visitors, and we'll put you behind a radio.
Okay.
And you're going to get on the air. We did that last year with the wife of the mayor of White Oak, and she was...
Councilman.
I was going to say, yeah, because Ina Martin will be offended if you say she's a man. So, yes, the councilman,
It's councilman, but his wife came by, and she was real excited. So if you welcome, come visit, but you're going to get behind a radio.
There we go. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. What I have noticed is younger people, especially kids who have come out of a lot of the local high schools now, have robotics teams or they have STEM programs where they learn about this Raspberry Pi, the small computer modules, or Arduino. And what I have noticed is I'm meeting a lot of younger hams who got their first experience with radio communication, controlling a remote control drone or controlling some other kind of remote control, and they want to be able to use more power. They want to be able to send images, and to do that, they got to get their ham radio license if they want to send imagery back or they want to send telemetry back. And that's where I'm seeing a lot of younger people coming up through the hobby, which, in my opinion, is a good thing.
Yes. Yes.
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, let's talk about if you wanted to get into this hobby, where do you start and how do you start without a lot of money, especially if you've got a young person in your life, a grandson, granddaughter, niece or nephew who might be interested? How do you get them started for low bucks? Because just like any hobby, you can start out on the low end and pretty soon you're hiding stuff from your spouse. No, you're not doing that. We're talking with members from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. Field Day is next weekend. They're inviting you to come in and drop in with them up at White Oak Park. We'll tell you about that again here right after this break. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com. www.mcspirits.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes, we're talking amateur radio with members of the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club based in the Mon Valley. Jim Bricker is the president. He's on the line with us from McKeesport. John Moscala is the media contact. He's on the phone with us from Baldwin. And Bill Powers is on the line with us. He's in Jefferson Hills. He's the secretary of the club. Field day is June 28th and 29th. They will be up at White Oak Park off of Muse Lane near the water tower. What time will you guys be getting up there to set up? And then what time will you be packing in to head home?
We start set up at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll be packing up between 2 and 4 on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so this time next week, when people are hearing this show, you guys will be deep into your work up there
right
at White Oak Park.
It.
Right into it. Fox hunting. We were talking off the air about fox hunting, and I think that's how a lot of, especially younger people, get into the hobby. What is a fox hunt? Because I think your club does fox hunts, and it does not actually involve a fuzzy animal.
No, it's a radio we hide.
Okay.
We take a small, low-powered transmitter and hide it someplace, and then people walk around with their portable radios with directional antennas and try to locate this, and the person that finds it first gets a prize, and then you can have other prizes for those who find it after that. But it's kind of neat because you get to build your own directional antenna. You get to go out there and see how signals bounce off of things. And if you're crafty in where you locate the fox, it may take a while to find it.
And when do you do this? What time of year?
We've got to do it in the summer months, obviously. We just had our first one here last weekend on Saturday. We're looking at another one in August, and we might try to get one in September if the weather holds up.
Are these usually in, like, the county parks, or where do you usually have them?
Typically, we'll use a county park only because it's wooded and you know, it's a good, safe place, and you can find people they can find that location really easily.
We're talking with some members from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club for a few more minutes. TRARC.org is their website. They'll be out for field day along with hundreds of ham radio clubs around the area. If you're listening to this and you're not in our area, ARRL.org will help you find a club in your area that may be participating. I got into this hobby because my grandma got me a little transistor radio that could tune in shortwave and some other bands, and that just fascinated me that I could hear stuff from all over the world, and saved my grass cutting money, and I bought a multi-band radio from a store that's out of business, but we all remember very well from the shopping centers. That was probably the worst multi-band radio you could have bought with that money, but I didn't care because I could hear the BBC and the VOA and whatever else was on the shortwave bands, and just kept going from there. If someone is showing an aptitude for radio or electronics, young person in your life, how would you get them started in the hobby? Where would you get them started at?
There are several websites that you can go to, which is practice exams, and also they will teach you the basics of the hobby. And then our club puts on examination times 4 times a year, and you just come in and take the test. There is a small fee to do that. And if you pass it, then you submit your paperwork to the FCC and you get your license. It's not that difficult. The questions are a multiple choice, and there are 35 questions on a test. And I think you have to get 26 or 7 of them right to pass. And it's some of it's rules and regulations. Some of it is basic technical. So that'll get you into the hobby. And you can get yourself a radio for under $200 and be on the air.
How did you, you mentioned, Jim, that you used to repair commercial two-way radios for a living. So it was probably a little bit easier for you. You had a little bit of a leg up. Do other people come into the hobby that way?
Yeah, there's anyone with any type of computer and or electronic experience in building, servicing, or what have you. It's real easy to step right into amateur radio from there. Most of them have some kind of technical knowledge, and that's how the older hams used to build their own equipment, build their own antennas. You had to have some level of skill to do that. But today, like you said earlier, with the digital world, we have computer interfaces to radios now. We have digital means of communication using the keyboard back and forth. So if you don't want to get on there and talk to people in other countries, you can certainly type them messages.
There's an old joke about real radios glow in the dark, and I know I certainly have some receivers here that run on vacuum tubes and glow in the dark. And I had a question actually from someone on Facebook the other day. They said, I found this old radio from the 1930s, and I'm sure, and she shows the dial, and it's got all the shortwave bands on it. She says, I'm sure there's nothing on this radio anymore. And I said, well, first of all, don't just go plugging it in without having someone look at it first. But if you're interested in the old time equipment, there's a place for you too in this hobby. Is it correct? Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have a group of folks. Our probably a mass majority of our membership is over the age of 65, and we still enjoy our old tube equipment. It helps keep the coffee warmer when you put it on top of it.
It does, and yeah, keeps the basement warm too. If you're working down in the basement like I am often. Final thoughts: if you guys meet, I believe at the Blaine Hill Volunteer Fire Department, I've mentioned. If somebody is not able to get to the field day and meet folks, but would like to drop by, do you accept visitors? And what would they have to do?
Yes, our meetings are open to the public. Anyone can visit at any time, and they are welcome.
Okay.
That's 7 o'clock on the third Tuesday of every month.
Okay, third Tuesday of every month. And if they're a complete, I was going to say novice, but that used to be a kind of license. If they're a complete, they have had no, they've always been interested in this, but they don't have a license. They don't have any equipment. I know sometimes people feel awkward, like, oh, they might make fun of me or they might laugh at me. I mean, what's going to happen if someone comes in and says, hey, I don't know anything about this, but I'm interested in it?
We are considered as elmers. We are the guiding folks. We do not shun anyone. We will teach whatever you want to learn.
And Jim, if someone wants to hear you on the radio, if they do have a ham radio license, where do you like to hang out?
Well, we have a local repeater here on 147.12, and we have nets on there where we all get together and talk. And I happen to be the voice of the announcements, so you'll hear me on the repeater.
John, K3CRO, how about you? Where can people find you hanging out on the radio?
Pretty much in the same places.
Yeah.
I'll be on our repeaters, and I go off on other nets with other clubs and organizations.
Okay.
But before we end here, I wanted to tell you a funny story, if I might.
Yes, please.
Our first winter field day was 2 years ago, and we were up at a area that we now function in pretty regular. It's Lincoln Fire, mm-hmm. Lincoln Borough Fire.
And you had your swap meet up there a couple months ago. I was up there, yeah.
Yes. And, well, we're gathering up there. We're taking our equipment in, and, well, it's dark. And the vice president at the time, he come up to tell us we're not going to be able to operate because there's a tree that fell across the power lines. You're not going to be able to do anything up there. And I says, well, maybe you come inside, take a look. He came inside and he looked, and it's like we had lights hanging from the ceiling, battery operated. The radios were hooked up to batteries. We had a car hooked up to the repeaters, keeping them powered. And he's just looking at this and it's like, geez, you guys are serious. And then we brought up a generator. There's like one thing led to another, and we're making friends everywhere we go.
Making friends and improvising are the two things that I enjoy most about the hobby, and it sounds like you guys are skilled at both of those things. We've been talking this morning with members from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club. They will be one of the clubs participating in Amateur Radio Field Day all over the United States and Canada. You can find out more about their club at trarc.org. You can find a club in your area at arrl.org, or you can drop by White Oak Park. They'll be off of Muse Lane up there at the Water Tower on Saturday and Sunday, June 28th and 29th. Most of those 2 days during daylight hours, if you'd like to visit their setup. And as I think Bill said, they will put you to work behind a radio. So if you've never talked on the amateur radio before, they will put you to work. Bill Powers has been with us. He's the secretary of the club, KB3WP. Bill, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Jim Bricker is the president, has joined us, N3JHB. Jim, thank you so much for some time with us this morning.
Thank you.
And John Muscala is K3CRO. He's joined us from Baldwin. He's a member of the club as well. John, thank you so much, all of three of you, for taking some time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you all for listening this weekend to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. We'll see you on the radio. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated.
Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.